Take you to his mansion in the sky. She's 41 and her daddy still calls her baby. And all the folks round Brownsville say she's crazy.
All right, we are here, and it is hour number one of a two-hour edition of Sports Talk. Welcome back, everybody. It's Adrian brought us here on a Monday afternoon, along with the full house. We got Michael Plundo. We got Alberto Retta, who's back. Strep throat, couldn't take him down. It just took him down for one day. He is back in action with us, and he is feeling much better. Shout out to Alberto. I'm glad that he is well-rested and back with us. Sebastian Perez Navarro is back with us again. He is sitting in with us on another show. And we got UTEP Zay and Cade McConnell in the studios here. Our 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks property schoolyard sports studios. And Zay and Cade are very busy at work. Right now, we are currently in hour number two officially of EA Sports College Football 25. The release is out. Zay was the only one out of all of us here. There's football diehards in this building, but he is the only one out of all of us who got the deluxe edition, got the early edition, downloaded the game earlier today, and is loaded up, ready to go. He's already connected to the Wi-Fi, already connected to everything here in our studios, and we are playing the video game live, and we will do it for the next 2 hours. We're going to give you all the information on this. And the reason why this is so big, this has been hyped, really, guys, since 2021. I was doing the digging today. 2021 is when they first teased that this game would come back and come out. And now we're talking here, July 15th, 2024. It's been 11 long years since the last NCAA Football 14. And now we can store that one away. That one can head back into the closet. And now we get to turn the page on the newest era, EA Sports College Football 25. Everybody's in the house. Everybody's happy and excited. We're all going to get a chance to at least hit the sticks at some point here on the show today. We're going to probably all cycle through here during the break. But we promise nonstop video gaming, nonstop coverage on this stuff, because this is really big news. And you know what, Zay, we got to start with you. I think you just scored a touchdown. You did something special right now, which was really great. We got to get into all the details, all the specifics, but just summarize it. Tell us everything as far as your excitement level and what this game is really like right here.
I mean, this game is fun. This game is fun. I am extremely excited. I just went 22 plays, 86 yards down the field. I think there was like 4 third down conversions. I'm having so much fun. I don't even have words for it right now. I don't have words.
All right, Cade, you've been basically the poster guy all these like months leading up to this for this UTEP football team. You're going to be competing to play for the Miners this year again, running it back for your third season with UTEP. But you've never gone into a season having a video game to prime you and get you ready for the actual season. Now it's official because the trailer happened. We saw McConnell. We saw 11. We saw all that kind of stuff. We've seen a couple teasers over the weekend, and you were, you know, you saw number 11 here and there, but now we're actually getting to play it. The video game is here. Zay's brought it in the house. We've got the early release, so we're getting the early edition out before it's publicly released on Friday. Yeah, you just take it from here. Take the floor.
All right, first of all, there's somebody at EA that I got to thank, because there's been a lot of really cool things that have happened for UTEP over the past month or two leading up to this game. And then, you know, from being in the trailer to, you know, having a clip here, a clip there. And then now I found out that recently when Zay posted on Twitter, when you hover over the UTEP cover, when you choose it as your favorite team, I'm the picture for that. I mean, that is the coolest
thing.
You're
the cover guy on the picture. You're the cover guy when you choose UTEP as your favorite team.
It is amazing.
Sports.
Oh, it's amazing. And here's what I was thinking. So actually, Coach Walden took a picture and sent it to me earlier. He was like, "This is so cool." And I was like, "Coach, like, I mean, think about when I was 5 years old or 7 years old when I first started playing flag football. Like, think about 7 year old Cade looking at that. Like, that is unbelievable, you know? I mean, this is all the cool, fun stuff that happens off the field because of the work, you know, that you put in and that you got to, you know, perform on the field and things like that. But this is all the fun extra stuff. And being able to go on and see something like that and then look back, you know, all those years ago, being like, wow, one day I was actually going to play Division I football and I was going to play in big stadiums in front of big crowds. crowds. And now there's a freaking video game that has now re-come back out after 10 years. And I get to be on it, and I'm watching right now as Zay plays. And he just drove down the field with me, and my name was on. I mean, it's just it's the coolest thing ever. It's going to be so much fun playing it with teammates and being able to go out there. And, you know, we're joking about guys' ratings right now. We're joking about who looks realistic and who doesn't. I mean, one of my boys, Sione, on the D-line, who's had, you know, a buzz cut pretty much his entire life, it has full dreads in the game, like all the way down his back. And so we're just joking. And so it's funny. It's really cool. There's a lot of good stuff that's happening in this game. I'm going to be very curious as a gamer, as a person who's played a lot of video games, you know, how many updates are there really going to be? You know, one of the big things in Madden is, you know, overall adjustments and things like that. And, you know, you'd think that you'd see more fluctuation in EA College Sports because it being college football, right? There's a little bit more of a wild card factor. You know, guys can have springboard years and, you know, change themselves and things like that. So it's going to be super interesting to see how this game moves forward. But off the rip, at the beginning, I mean, it just looks so much fun. You know, going out there and seeing your teammates on there and being able to mess around, it's going to be a really, really cool thing, especially when we get up in our new locker room that's coming this August. We get up in there and then we have, you know, some TVs and some consoles in there. Yeah, it's gonna be tough to take us out.
Oh, man, I'm just so excited to be talking about this today. I didn't even think that this would be a reality. You know, 11 years ago, you know, after 5 years, really, I thought it was over. I thought the video game series died. I thought we'd be playing NCAA 14 mods every 5 seconds. And let's dial this back. Let's take this back for all our listeners right now who might not be big on video games, because there are a lot of, you know, people who get a little confused when we start talking about this stuff or tune out. Let's just say that. This video game is not very niche. I feel it's very generational. I feel like it can go with millennials. It can go with, you know, the higher generation, like in anywhere, if you're even a boomer or anything like that, baby boomer, anything like that, because of just the traditions, the colors, the universities, the history that this, you know, the video game actually provides. I'll also say this, when it comes to the video game history, this video game really started back in the early 90s. KLAQ.com, that's where you can read Daniel Paulus' article. He actually talks about the inception of how the video game series really started, where UTEP was actually first featured, which was real interesting. He was telling me back in like the late 90s, I believe it was 98 or 99, UTEP made their first appearance in a college football video game, and then they pretty much made it every single year after the fact. So really funny stuff. Really, it makes you feel nostalgic just thinking back to what happened in the past with NCAA football and what's happening now. But hey, Cade, I know you're about to hit the sticks right here. This game went dormant because the NCAA ruled that they wouldn't allow players to get paid back in 2013, 2014. This was the reason why this game essentially became extinct. When NIL, or thanks to NIL, I should say, rostered players across the game are receiving payment for their participation in this video game, and they're getting a digital copy. We still don't know how clear the digital copy is for players like you. However, the payment side seems to be solved for most of the players, correct?
It is. Actually, pretty much everybody that I know of that's in the game has already gotten paid from it. EA did a fantastic job through the Compass NIL app of, you know, getting everybody's information down. And then once they were in the game, it seemed like they were really, really fast on being able to be like, okay, you know, this is who's in. We're going to get them the payment. We're going to get it to them now. And it was very seamless. It's one of the things that as players, you know, when we got told that, we're like, okay, really, like how efficient is it actually going to be? You know, how good is it actually going to look? Because it seems like it could be really tough, you know, to get everybody their money, but it wasn't. They did a great job.
Yeah, I'm just happy that UTEP is hitting the digital gridiron. I wrote about it. It's up on the site. EA Sports College Football 25 brings UTEP to the digital gridiron. We're going to talk all about it. We're going to get Sebastian's thoughts, Michael's thoughts on it as well. All the releases, all the trailers, the gameplay, things that excite us most as some, you know, people who are going to be part of this, some people who are going to get a chance to play it itself. Like we mentioned, we're going to have everybody at least hit the sticks for a couple plays so everybody could talk about their experience on this so far. We'll get into all of that and more. If you want to give us a call, our telephone number today, 915-505-6009. We're with you till 6 o'clock when we'll get out to the Home Run Derby. We'll give out some predictions later on. We'll tell you some takeaways, some updates for the Home Run Derby, and we'll preview all that. That gets underway at 6 o'clock today. Tomorrow, programming note, we're only on for 1 hour. From 4 to 5, we're leading into the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. And hey, it's All-Star Week, so no Chihuahuas baseball Wednesday, Thursday. No, obviously, Chihuahuas baseball tomorrow. And we'll be back in action for Chihuahuas baseball with Tim Haggerty starting Friday out at Southwest University Park. So all that is on deck. That's just the programming note. Steve Kaplowitz back in action this week as well. He's really enjoying his time off right now. He got a chance to go watch a Padres game over the weekend, got some good videos and photos from Steve over the weekend as well. So really excited to see him back in action with us, but happy he's having and enjoying some great time out there on the West Coast. Alberto Urreta, I missed you. You have like never missed a day, man. You know, you never realize how much you miss somebody until they're gone, even if it's just for a day. And I felt like I missed one of our partners, like one of my tag team partners here on the show on Friday. I'm glad you're doing well, and I'm glad to be talking soccer here before we wrap up our first segment with you here today, man. Did you indulge on a lot of soccer like we did over the weekend?
Yeah, I got to sit down and just enjoy all of it, and I was really pleased with what I got to watch yesterday. Well, at the beginning of the day, at least.
Yes.
And, it was a great day just for quality soccer, and that's it.
Okay, let's talk about quality soccer, which was Spain-England. I thought it was over 1-0 in the second half when Spain first scored. I thought no chance England could equalize it. Not only did they equalize it, Alberto, they had multiple opportunities. I feel like if you're an England fan leaving that match yesterday, you're just so disappointed. You reflect back to 2020. They had an opportunity to win in Wembley. You look at this year, they had the opportunity. I mean, Spain was just fantastic. To win 2-1, you don't take too much away from them. I guess we should start with them and just say what a team and what a stacked roster that was. But on the flip side, England had so many chances, especially late. Even when it was 2-1, they had so many opportunities to even just tie it 2-2 down the stretch. Oh, but man, they could not seize some of those late opportunities, man. What a great game.
Yeah, it was a great game. Unfortunately, if you're an England fan, you're going to want that one back. Just not the offensive performance that you want from, especially from some of your leaders, especially like a guy from Harry Kane, who's conquered it all pretty much there at the Premier League and has now gone over to Germany. In this game, he attempted 10 passes. He completed 5. In this game, he had 5 carries. None of them were progressive, meaning he carried the ball always backwards. And he didn't even attempt a 1v1 take on. So that's a poor performance there. Jude Bellingham, he had more passes. He had 31 attempts, 21 completed. He had 17 carries, and only one of those was progressive. So just kind of like a stagnant offense really led to the offense that we saw by England. So that's where I was disappointed. They had a header opportunity in what I believe was the 89th, you know, really late to put themselves equal, but when you played it to tie, like I feel like a lot of teams do once it gets late, and then you get that late goal from the other team, you're pretty much you got your hands behind your back. You can't. There's nowhere to respond. You were hoping to tie and then take it extra, and the other team just took it out of your hands. So that's very much the feeling I know that England fans have, and the poor performances once again from their offensive leaders makes it even sour.
You know, I feel like this was such a high-quality soccer game, though. I don't leave this one. If you're an England fan, you should not be disappointed. You should not feel embarrassed. You should feel like you fought a good fight. I mean, that was right there. They had so many opportunities, especially late in that contest, that I would always feel good about going down if you gave it all and you feel like you left it all there. And I felt like that was the case, at least from my untrained eye for soccer, when it comes to watching that England team. Now, when it comes to Argentina and Colombia, I checked out, my friend. I didn't watch. I watched all the highlights. I saw the ankle. I saw the stadium breach. I saw the Martinez goal in extra time, and I feel good about it, Alberto. I feel really good about it. You take the floor. You tell me about this game.
Well, it's a game marked by chaos, you know, through and
exactly.
through.
Exactly. That's why I'm so happy I checked out and didn't stay with this.
Yeah, it was kind of all over the place mentally, but yeah, poor planning for the amount of people that show up. And then once the game gets started, it's a deadlock game. It's not as one-sided as many people want to believe. And then obviously Messi goes down, like you alluded to, with the hurt ankle. He kind of just rolls over it on his own, and it swells up immediately. He's shown, you know, in full tears. But luckily, you know, the subs that the head coach Scaloni puts in, they get the job done. Lautaro Martinez, despite not starting as many games as some of the people in the list of the top scorers, he finds himself in the list of top scorers. So he's just a guy who, doesn't matter if you start him or you bring him in off the bench, he's going to give you a great performance, and he won this game for his team. So, you know, hats off to him. And for the Colombians who got to see a game for free because they didn't pay a ticket and they just all snuck in, well, I mean, hey, maybe you didn't watch it all, but you got to watch some of it. And look, it's clear that this nation and the organizing bodies have a lot of work to do coming up for 2026.
Oh yeah, they do, man. Yes indeed they do. And security is on top of that list, so as far as priorities go. But regardless, a lot of soccer this weekend. Quickly, we got to get our break. We're past our break to Charlie One, but you tell me, Lokomotiv FC, you have the floor. I'm just disappointed, man. 2-0 this weekend at home.
Yeah, not the performance you want. And you know what, it's just they look disheartened on the field, and their opportunities just pass them by, and they're not finding the net, and that continuously stays with them. They attempted 13 shots and 5 shots on a goal, and that's the same as the other team. The thing is the other team's finding the net, you know, and
right.
There's something missing there, and I'm curious as to what it is and what the head coach thinks it is, and how he's going to address it moving forward, because you obviously have serious drawbacks in this team.
Rapid fire, FC Juarez.
FC Juarez, they played a great game in the second half. They had a resurgence in that second half. They equalize it. Unfortunately, you can't find the third, and that's what hurts. Look, I'll tell you what else hurts. Manu Castro, he goes down. He only played the first game. He's out the entire season, another year. That's the second entire year he's going to miss here with the club. It's not what you want, though, definitely. So FC Juarez, they don't have any time to mourn. They play a game here against Pumas on Wednesday.
Toluca wins 3-2 against the Bravos, and now they're back in action, just like Alberto said, this week. Again, Las Vegas defeats Lokomotiv FC 2-0 from earlier this weekend. So two tough losses. We're talking some Borderlands soccer. Let's take a break right now. When we come back, more of Sports Talk, more of EA College Football 25. We'll get the reactions and the reviews from all the guys here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Zay, Cade, Sebastian, Alberto, and Michael all here and all joining us here for a two-hour edition of Sports Talk, all the way up to the Home Run Derby. Early gameplay reviews. Guys, one of the interesting parts about this game, too, and I'll bring you into this, Cade, all 134 FBS teams have a unique playbook. That's really interesting in itself. That's one of the things that our listeners are definitely need to know, and especially when it comes to UTEP. In this video game, they have a spread format set up for this playbook.
So are you saying that, you know, UTEP has their own playbook that looks different from everybody else in the game?
I think there's probably...
there's overlap.
I think there's probably, like, styles, like play styles, and then they probably, like, branch off into different things. So if you're a spread that leans into more of the run, like UTEP, I feel like UTEP's play calls would look a little different than another spread offense team, like maybe a Texas Tech, who loves to be more air raid or balanced when it comes to their offense.
You know, I could actually see that, because I was talking with our tight end, Judah Ezenwa. He actually got the game early, and we were talking, and he was basically saying how there definitely is some similarities between what's in the game and what people run, and so that makes a lot of sense. You know what I mean? We have plays that are on this game, you know, that we have ran before, and that type of honest feeling is so cool, because the people who really care and the people who are playing this game appreciating how detailed it is. If you're really watching, you know, you're like, wow, I'm really running maybe some of the plays that these teams are actually running. This is in their playbook. I'm making the same reads that my favorite quarterback is, you know, and all those type of things. So it's really cool to see.
A couple other things, you know, that's really interesting here, Zay. There's actual hand gestures for picks up when it comes to this video game, and Sam Houston is listed as a rival for UTEP. Those are some interesting nuggets right there.
Yeah, Sam Houston being a rival. I'm pretty sure if UTSA was still in this conference, I guess they would consider them a rival. I guess they had to give UTEP some in-state rival, and they just decided on Sam Houston State, which is, you know, makes sense. A lot of Twitter beef. A lot of Twitter beef. Maybe they're on UTEP Zay's timeline.
I like it. Now, speaking of your timeline, here are the highest rated players so far. Maurice Westmoreland, 86 overall. Corey Chapman, who's a safety. And by the way, Maurice Westmoreland, defensive end. Okay, Corey Chapman, free safety, 78 overall. Xavier Smith, 77 overall. He's a safety as well. Right guard, Otis Pitts III, 76 overall. Running back, Javon Jackson, 76 overall. And then when it comes to Cade McConnell and Skylar Locklear, both quarterbacks, 74 overall. We got to go back to see who won the contest, by the way, guys. That'll be some interesting stuff in itself. But you tell me, reactions to some of the overall ratings there, Zay. How close were you to some of the the ones that we had predicted in the offseason?
Yeah, I think I was pretty close to Cade's, and I was pretty close to Maurice Westmoreland's, but I was way off on A.J. Odoms. A.J. Odoms comes in at a 68 overall, UTEP's number one corner, and honestly, very surprised by that overall rating. But other than that, I think they nailed a lot of guys. I'm not sure how they went about rating. I guess that's something, a question that we will, you know, have an answer to soon. But yeah, I think I did pretty good predicting.
Cade, I wonder who won. We got to go back and see who won that contest, by the way.
That's what I was just wondering, because, you know, we were going off those ratings. And I think that my overrating was a little bit higher than what El Paso had expected in this Twitter poll.
I think
poll.
So, too. Yeah, I think most, we were thinking like 68 to 70, right? Was that like kind of, is that kind of right?
Right.
Are we close there?
Exactly. It was around there. But you know what? I think we're higher than that. So everyone who voted that I was lower, you guys are haters. Haters. El Paso haters right there.
So we got to go back and dig on this. I like it. Let's take a quick timeout. Actually, before we take a timeout right now, let's hit the phone lines. It's Enrique who's joining us. Enrique, who has been very, very excited about College Football 25, EA Sports release, the early release. He's joining us now on the phone lines. Enrique, welcome aboard. Good afternoon, my friend. What's happening?
Hey, Adrian. Hey, Cade. Congratulations on your rating. I don't know if you saw the X post I gave you, but I gave you a little shout-out. Congratulations. And it's just awesome to see you on the front and speaking out UTEP. And I'm just, I wanted to let you guys know that the ratings are going to change throughout the year. One thing they did mention is that throughout the year, like how they do with Madden, depending how the staffs are, they're going to tweak the ratings.
Well, first of all, thank you for the shout out. I do appreciate that. I haven't seen it yet. Let me go make sure I get back on my phone and check that. But also, that's awesome. I haven't actually heard that yet. You're the first person that's told me that. But I don't doubt it. I think that's accurate, and I'm excited for that. It was kind of what I was talking about earlier in the show, and where I think that, you know, the how much they updated and how much they keep, you know, changing the game is going to make it really dynamic and a lot of fun.
I'm rushing home to go play it right now. Well, I was watching a clip that they even showed the Sun Bowl, and they even showed Visit El Paso by the Jumbotron. And I know Sam Houston State was playing, and I was letting someone know that I don't think they EA understands the contract agreement we had this year. So I think for some of the bowls, like the Pac-12 affiliation, it's going to go at large bid. So I think there's some things that are could use some tweaking, but some little minor details.
I like it. I think that's some pretty good feedback there, man. You know, I think it's interesting with the Sun Bowl, all the graphics and stuff. But Enrique, I'm kind of like you, man. I'm ready to just start getting home and start playing this video game right here. Hey, Enrique, you were close. You guessed 71, but Cade's 74 overall. But you were close.
I was rooting for my boy Cade. You know, I got to represent the Cade fan club here.
All right, you're the president. You're the president, my friend.
I just have one question while I take off the air. I know I tweeted at you, Adrian, that I'm going to go with Bob Stoll, but if you guys had a choice of what coach you were going to make, who would it be?
Like Bob the name?
Brian Bumbleow, you know, because we can't use Scotty Walden, I guess, due to, like, NIL rights or whatever. But for as a coach, I'm going to go with Bob Stoll. What would you guys go with?
Yeah, it's a good one. I like the question. Hey, I appreciate the phone call, Enrique. Thanks for weighing in. I might have to just create my name. Maybe I'll just go Adrian Broadus or something like that. So I would just do something along those lines there. Cade, you want to give a response there? Dynasty head coach, what are you going at? Or Zay, is this even possible? Can we change the coach's name?
Yeah, you can make your own coach, change the coach's name. It's completely customizable.
Okay.
I just got to stick with my current head coach. I mean, I know I can't use him. I know that that's not how it works, but that's who I'm sticking with, right? I'm ride or die on this team, and Scotty Walden till the end.
Okay, I'm going to give you the winner for the Cade McConnell, the Guess the Rating contest. This was done. Get this, guys. Do you remember when we did this? Just out of curiosity, if you had to guess the month that we did this in, when did we do this, Cade?
I'm going to guess March.
We did this in February.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We've been waiting for this forever,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, we have.
We really have. But we did this February 16th of this year. Joe Chacon nailed it. You're a solid 74 with a slightly higher throw power and accuracy. They'll probably get on your speed and acceleration. That was Joe Chacote. He got it exactly right. The text truth also guessed 74. So we had two people who guessed 74 right there.
I love it. They were spot on. Now they're gonna get a prize coming their way. Yeah,
we're gonna make it happen. We got some good stuff.
I love it.
Hey, I love it too. We're gonna continue our conversation. We got more in a moment. Plus, I gotta get Michael Plundo's home run derby picks and All Star Weekend preview here. He won't be with us tomorrow. We're only gonna be on for an hour tomorrow, so I want to get those thoughts here coming up. Let's take a break right now. Sports Talk continues right here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Number one here on Sports Talk. Let's waste no time. Let's go out to the phone lines right now. Domingo is joining us next. Our telephone number 915-505-6009. We are talking all sorts of various topics today, and it's led by our big one, the EA Sports College Football video game that is dropped, early release, the deluxe edition. We're playing it right now. We're giving live reactions right now, and we will continue that into hour number two. But let's switch it up. Let's talk some soccer. Domingo, what's going on, Domingo?
How you doing? First of all, I'm calling you from a very special place.
Where are you calling from?
Juneau, Alaska.
Wow. You're calling us all the way from Alaska. Really important soccer stuff if you're giving us a call all the way from Alaska today. So give us the lowdown. What's your soccer takes from over the weekend?
Embarrassing what happened with the Copa America final. Delayed. And I also know for a fact USA and Mexico coaches are gone. Well, Greg Berhalter, we knew he was gone. And Jimmy Lozano, well, he was gone too. And the Euro finals, well, Spain won, England lost, and let's just hope that the English don't start rioting because they lost. But yeah,
they won't.
What I heard. Yeah. Yeah. And also, the big week in soccer is that I know for a fact America's going to want it.
That's true. That's a good point right there. That's a really good point. It's going to be interesting, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it is crazy. You know, I've been trying to reach you for a week, but I've been so busy checking out the front the last time I've been had time. They gotta have the app to hear you guys.
Yeah, thank goodness, man. Hey, we've been talking about this one a lot, Domingo. In fact, Alberto and I were talking about Copa America, and we had kind of similar reactions as to you, man. I appreciate you giving us a call all the way out in Alaska, Domingo. You tell me, were you surprised that Argentina pulled it off in the late stages of that game?
Yeah, I saw it last night from my hotel room, but yeah, they did it.
Yeah, barely. Well, good stuff, Domingo. Hey, I appreciate you checking in all the way from out in Alaska, and we'll catch you here when you get back to town. That'll do it for us here in hour number one of Sports Talk. We'll be back in hour number two talking more EA Sports, more Home Run Derby, and we'll get you ready for the big one. It's coming up at 6 o'clock. We'll tell you who we predict to win the Home Run Derby, and we'll get you ready for ESPN's live coverage starting at 6 o'clock. All that and more right here on 600 ESPN El Paso. All right, we are back here. It is hour number two of Sports Talk. Welcome back, everybody, along with Alberto Retta, Michael Plundo, Sebastian Perez Navarro, who's sitting in today. Cade McConnell is joining us as well as a guest today instead of his usual Tuesday, Thursday. Zay is in the house, UTEP Zay Galindo. And the reason why Cade is in the house today is that EA Sports College Football 25 dropped the early release, the deluxe edition. Cade, we made the call to you. We said we put the call out there, the request. pushed. We said, hey, can you come out today instead of tomorrow? And I think it's paying off, man. I think we're learning a lot about this video game so far.
It is. It's been pretty cool to talk about. And hopefully later on in the show, whenever we have some time, I'd love to talk about the attributes that they gave me, because I'm here looking at
yes.
each of my overalls. And maybe we can go around and get like a not very accurate. Or
let's do it. Let's do it right now.
Accurate. You want to go through
yeah,
it?
Yeah, let's do it right now.
Okay, okay. And we got to be candid. You know what I mean? Okay. Would I have loved my overall to be higher? Yes. Am I okay with the 74? Yes, in the grand scheme of things.
Okay, you can reel it off for me.
Okay, so Zay pulled it up. So I'm a 74 overall. We know that. It's got me listed as a junior, obviously correct. Overall speed, 75. What do we think?
What are we thinking, Zay?
I think that's good. I wonder what your quickness is. I wonder what your quickness is.
See, Zay hit it on the head for me. Like, I think that I am not quick necessarily as of last year. Okay, we have been working in the off season. We have been working in the off season, and mobility has been at the top forefront of what we've been working on. So,
okay,
we're gonna let that cook for the season. But my quickness necessarily was not very good last year. But the speed, we didn't get to see it too much. But my speed has never really been too much of an issue.
Okay,
is that fair?
All right, that's fair. That's fair. I'm gonna say we'll check that off.
Okay. All right. So. Zay, you scroll back over to the left for me. Perfect. All right, now that we're looking at them, they had some other stats, like different accuracy ones. They even had three different levels of accuracy. But right now, they have me at an 82 overall awareness. What do we think about
that? Oh, 82 awareness. Okay, so I'm going to say that's good. I think you're pretty aware in the pod. I feel like all of these, like anything 80 plus is like positive. So, and I consider anything 70 and under negative for you. So I think that's good. I'll check that off.
Awesome. Agility was 74. That seems okay. Like about to go with the speed, you know, aspect.
Yeah.
Probably not. I would say I don't even know if I would have, based off of last season's film, given me the agility of that. But, I mean, I'll take it. Okay, break sack, 74. Did you see me get to break any sacks last year, Adrian?
Well, you slid a lot. You know, you're going for a lot of these. I think I could count the sack three times. Does that sound right? Maybe four?
Probably in the single digits for sure.
Yeah. So definitely single digits. Small sample size. Can't really tell.
All right. We'll go down the list a little bit. My injury, and I think this means like I can stay healthy better.
Durability.
Right. I think injury is durability. 84.
Oh, I like that. You're a tough player. Okay.
Okay. So let's go down to one of the higher ratings on here. Speaking of being a tough player, my toughness rating is a 90. Or no, I'm sorry. A 91. Toughness.
Wow. Okay. I'm saying you're reeling off all these positive ones. Give me the negative ones.
Okay, here let's move down to maybe some things that are not very good. A 33 stiff arm.
33 stiff arm. I've never seen you stiff arm anybody, so I'm gonna accept that.
That I mean, I can't blame you. They never see me stiff arm, but I really hope I can do it better than a 33. That's I might as well not even extend my arm. Okay, and maybe another one that's negative. Break tackle 53.
Okay, All right, you jump in there, Alberto. 53 break tackle. Come on.
Yeah, it could definitely be lower. I think that's pretty good. And, like, the thing is, you're a quarterback, so they're like, this guy's not breaking tackles regularly. That's what they think. They need to watch a little more film, I think.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good. All right, let's move down a little bit. Another bad one. 66 spin move. Adrian.
I've never seen you spin.
Not entirely true. I did kind of spin, not really to like juke somebody out last year, but against FIU, there was a blown play. Knees were a little swollen that game. Wasn't too mobile. Tried to get out of the pocket. Ended up being the corner out there, and I tried to kind of dive inside and spin, and I ended up getting my head taken off by one of the D-linemen.
Okay, I do remember this.
Helmet came off the field. Shout out Kevin Hurley came in on the next play, chucked a 40-yard bomb for a completion to Kelly.
I do remember this. What was the rating again?
It was my spin move, 66.
Okay, it could be a 60. Okay, let's keep going.
My strength, 58.
Okay, all right. There we're like, eh. I don't like that one. Yeah.
I didn't like that one either. I didn't like that one either. All right, let's get to some better ones. So, deep throw accuracy, 80.
Wow, okay.
So that's good, but I would like to believe that my deep ball accuracy is better than that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like, hey, you've proven it. You've proven it in an actual college game. Sebastian, you want to jump in real quick?
Real quick, so that 91 toughness rating is probably one of the most important ratings that you could see on a player due to EA Sports' new wear and tear system.
Oh,
which
okay.
Basically, when you're having gameplay, you're going to see body parts like your chest, your shoulders, your arms, your biceps start to change in colors. Yellow, orange, red for really bad.
So we're bringing some UFC into this game. I like it. No, I'm just kidding. I like it, though.
So basically, the way it works is that the more you get hit, the more that main body part is going to suffer. But with the toughness rating, what it's going to allow for is for a player to stay in the game at a durably longer pace. So overall, Cade, you're pretty good in playing the whole game.
Okay. All right, let's keep going. Let's keep going with the ratings.
All right. Medium throw accuracy, 84. Four higher than what the deep ball was.
Check. We like that one.
Short throw accuracy, 85.
We like that one, too. Check.
Throw on the run, 75.
Okay, Zay, I'll bring you in for this one. What do we think?
Okay, so I'm here on the depth chart, and I'm looking at throw on run. Cade McConnell's is a 75. He is the lowest on the team for quarterbacks. And that's shocking to me because we got our auto-generated friend here, Jeff Tracy, a 60 overall with an 83 throw and run. I mean, what is this? I think they're hating. I think they're hating on that one. It could be a little bit higher.
Okay.
I think you should be higher than Jeff Tracy.
Okay. Keep it going, kid.
All right. Throw power, 87.
Wow. Okay. Well, hey, you've proven it before, so I like that.
Wow, I'm looking at all the overalls here for our roster as well. It's pretty interesting to see. Okay, and then my throw under pressure is 72. I'd love to get your guys' thoughts on this one.
Throw under pressure, 72. I'll say that we saw you throw under pressure last year. I would also say most of your turnovers weren't necessarily under pressure. Most of your turnovers last year were misread, you know. I would just say, I'll say it flat out, like just inexperience of being a starter for the first time last year. It's not necessarily because of, you know, the other thing. So there
right.
You go.
No, I think that one of the things that I've always been able to do in my career is step into a throw or stay in the pocket and be able to take a hit. You know, knowing that Mike linebacker's coming straight through the hole, you know you're going to get hit, but you still step in, you finish your throw the way you're supposed to, and then you kind of wear one on the chin. I feel like I've always been able to do that. So I'd like to see that one go up.
So it wasn't the... Was it the La Tech game or the Middle Tennessee game where it was one of the first games you took a big hit and you just kept going?
So my very first college football play ever in Division I was that 4th-and-14 play against
elbow,
La
right?
Tech. Yeah, it was the one on the elbow that actually no one knew about that last year except you, Adrian. It was the first time saying it on the air. In my very first throw of college football, they brought a zero cover blitz on 4th-and-14. We were down by a little over a touchdown or two. And the guy had hit me right on my elbow as I threw it to Kelly over the middle. And I couldn't feel it during the game, but for the rest of the season, it really messed up my elbow. So I was actually playing with an elbow injury entirely last season. It was terrible. I almost spent half my time, you know, not on the field trying to rehab and trying to make sure that elbow was fine. And really all it needed was rest, but it couldn't get that during the season. But that was one of the very first plays, Adrian, was that throw right there.
Joe Chacon, by the way, said this. He checked in and he said, and thanks for Esteban listening, by the way. He's checking in a couple of different posts. Joe Chacon, I can't play until I upgrade my console. I still have Xbox One and 360. I'm accepting donations to get the Xbox Series X. Help a brother out. Hashtag repping from Colorado now. Hashtag win the West. Hashtag picks up. Sorry, Joe Chacon. That's not part of the grand prize for picking the... you know, the correct rating for Cade McConnell. But, Cade, any other attributes you want to reel off before we switch topics here real quick?
Yeah, last one we could do is vision. Vision is a 71 overall.
I don't think that's solid. I think that's pretty... I mean, look, I'd say some of these attributes, you just give benefit of the doubt to returning players. And I'm not just saying you. I'm saying, like, everybody across college football. Like, if you have starting or returning playing experience, I'm probably going 75-plus for these, like, certain attributes. If you're going 30s for some, like, run ones and stuff like that, like stiff arm, I'm cool with. You know, vision, are we getting a little intricate? Are we getting too detailed? I guess you can never get too detailed with this video game. Right, Zay? You like the details, and I think the details matter when it comes to this video game. I guess that's the argument there, right?
Yeah, I really do like the details, especially in the ratings, right? You can definitely see how, you know, maybe someone at Kennesaw State or Jacksonville State, their maybe their durability, maybe something like that, even their size, right? It's going to be worse than someone who's on Michigan or Ohio State. And that's how you feel the difference in gameplay when you're playing with, let's say we were taking on, you know, Texas versus UTEP, and I'm UTEP. I can tell that, hey, you know, I'm UTEP. We are the lower rated team. We are the less stronger, less faster team. And you can feel that in the gameplay.
So Sam Guzman from KTSM says that Canutillo High School graduate LJ Martin, who is BYU's projected starting running back, along with Andrews High School graduate Jeremiah Cooper, starting safety in all preseason Big 12 for Iowa State, are in the video game. Jeremiah Cooper being an 86 overall rating at Iowa State at the safety position. LJ Martin, meanwhile, 82 overall running back at BYU. Zay, did they get it right for those guys right there?
I think they got it right. I think maybe they even snubbed Jeremiah Cooper a little bit. I think he was really dominant last year in the Big 12, and maybe I think he could have been about an 88. Right?
You know, it's a quiet topic. I mean, I've said this off air, and I'm just going to continue to say as public as I can or every opportunity I have. Jeremiah Cooper very well could be the next El Pasoan going to the NFL. I mean, that's just the bottom line. He's a fantastic player for Iowa State. It could be as early as this spring if he has another stellar season with the Cyclones of Iowa State. But regardless of if it's this year or in the future, Zay, I do believe Jeremiah Cooper out of Iowa State, who does not get talked about enough, can definitely be an NFL player here in the future.
Oh, yeah, easily. And anybody who saw him play at Andrews, like, they would know. They would know. He was just so all over the field, offensively and defensively, right? Maybe in another universe, Jeremiah Cooper is a wide receiver at, you know, maybe a TCU, an SMU, right? And he's probably making his presence known there. He's just such a good player. And I definitely can see him. If everything goes right this year, he should be in the NFL.
Yeah, I think so too. And I'm happy for him to be at that spot. So, yeah, and just to have all this kind of preseason hype around him, I'm happy for the fact that that's the case. Let's keep things moving here. Telephone number 915-505-6009. If you want to talk about some EA College Football 25 with us, you could definitely do it. We've been playing it all this time. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter next, and then 600ESPNElPaso.com. We're going to switch it up. We're going to talk some Home Run Derby, and we'll talk a little All-Star storylines coming up next. Michael Plundo will be my point guard for that one right there. Then after that, we'll tease what's coming up on the website tomorrow from Michael, talking the NFC South. Not to mention, we'll give our final takeaways before we get ready for the big one, the Home Run Derby. Coming up here at 6 o'clock, we'll give our final thoughts on this college football video game before getting you ready for the Home Run Derby. All that and more coming up next as Sports Talk continues. Before we get out to Sports Talk, before we get out to Charlie 1, I do want to mention to everybody about Cool Canyon Nights. This week, we are back in action. It's the roulettes. They're hitting the main stage this weekend. We are so excited for the roulettes. It's going to be Josh Lucetto and the Midnight Vibe hitting the EPCC patio stage at 6, and then the roulettes will hit the main stage at 7 o'clock. This week, Cool Canyon Nights is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. And, of course, Cool Canyon Nights happens every Thursday evening. And it's a free concert series out of McKelligan Canyon. To learn more or to get the VIP passes, visit KissElPaso.com. More in a moment. We're going to continue with more Sports Talk here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Along with the full gang here, I'm Adrian. We're moving right along a busy, busy Monday afternoon. And it's busy because we've got Sports Talk in the middle of our EA Sports college football game. Is that right, Zay? We got to actually develop some content for the listeners here in the middle of us all playing the early release here for college football 2025.
Having some fun. You know, we're watching Cade McConnell go to work, an actual quarterback in Division I FBS football. He's going to work. He's showing us how to read the defense, this and the third. So I'm taking notes because I'm trying to I have a three-day head start on my friends. If I'm not cooking them day one,
something's wrong.
Yeah,
something's wrong. And you're learning from the best right here, who can at least give you some pointers. Cade, you tell us. All right, you're moving through this video game. You're actually playing live as you're talking on air with us right now. So give us some live play-by-play of what you're seeing right now.
So one of the things, because I'm a football nerd, we were sitting here, me and Zay were sitting here, and I was talking about how, you know, we were talking about the customization of the offenses and how realistic it really is. And I will say that it is very realistic. The offenses that are on here is very similar to certain types of things that we would run. Obviously, there's going to be your general plays that every single team has, but it's kind of the combination of all of them that gives you the same vibe as our offense.
That's pretty cool, man.
So, I mean, that's a big on EA because obviously Coach Walden and his staff coming from Austin Peay, they would have had to go into that and, you know, kind of look at those plays, watch that film in order to implement that into the game. And then it was also cool being with Zay right here, you know, just talking some football. I was kind of telling him this is how I would read it in real life. And we were talking about some of the RPOs that were going on. And, I mean, they worked out, right, Zay? If you read them the way they're supposed to be read, then plays usually work out.
I like it. Let's keep things moving. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. If you want to talk anything about this one, let's do it. Let's shift it over. We got Home Run Derby at the top of the hour. Our resident baseball guy that I'm bouncing off different thoughts with is Michael Plundo. Michael, let's preview the Home Run Derby right now as it stands and what's going on right now. There's a lot of different, you know, thoughts on the Home Run Derby, who's going to win, who's going to be the runner-up, who's going to have the longest home run of the night, how far is that going to go, the new Derby rules, by the way, which is interesting in itself, who gets impacted off that. We got the bracket format coming out now. And then what's the big moment, right? Because every time around and the new rule that instead of 30 seconds of bonus time, players can just hit as many home runs as possible before they hit three outs, that should be some added drama to this Home Run Derby tonight and what we see as far as the wrinkle goes.
Yeah, I'm very excited to watch. I think there's a lot of very good candidates that are participating in this year's Derby. You know, Pete Alonso trying to make it three times in a row, tying Mariners legend Ken Griffey Jr. He's trying to make that a record and put his name into the record books. But I'm looking forward to see guys like Bobby Witt Jr., Gunnar Henderson, and Marcell Ozuna, a guy with a lot of power too as well. But Gunnar Henderson and Bobby Witt Jr., two young guys that are absolute stars already and are going to be for a very long time for their very respected teams. But I got to know, Adrian, who's your pick?
I think I've got to go Alonso just because – well, so – the Henderson one is fun because I love Henderson. He's Gunnar Henderson. He's the young guy. We've had a lot of Baltimore Oriole conversation on this radio station over the years. He's really ascended onto this Orioles franchise. I'll say this too with Gunnar Henderson. He's the young, fun, rising guy who you might not necessarily think his stats are eye-popping, but he's just the young, trendy player from the Orioles who packs a lot of power. That's why he's here for the Home Run Derby. He's an interesting candidate at plus 400. The other, you know, the guy who's leading all the odds right now, Pete Alonso, he's at 3-1 odds pretty much, plus 305 if you want to be exact. Bobby Witt Jr. checks in at 3 at 410. You know what? I'm going to say it right now, man. If you're going to try to get some, a little bit of, you know, I guess, you know, odds in your favor, you want to win some money on this one, if you're betting on this one, I'd look at Marcell Ozuna at plus 470. And, Michael, that's the guy right now who's been playing really hot. I mean, the Braves are killing, and he's been the one who's, like, carrying the offense for a lot of the Atlanta Braves and what we've seen as of late. So I like Ozuna. It's just all about the bracket, too, and how you deal with the new rules, right?
Yeah, I mean, those are definitely going to be a factor this year. And Ozuna, like you said, I mean, he's been carrying that Braves team, especially since Acuna went down. He's been very good for them, so I'm looking forward to see how he does. But don't sleep on Bobby Witt. That is a guy I'm really excited to watch because he leads the Home Run Derby participants in average home run length at 418 feet. And his average exit velocity on home runs has been almost 108 miles per hour. So I'm really looking forward to seeing Bobby Witt Jr. He's been incredible all year for the Royals, and what a story they have been considering where they were last year. So Bobby Witt Jr. is a player I'm excited for, and I want to pick him so badly, but it's really hard to bet against Pete Alonso.
Right. I think at the end of the day, Alonso winning three straight would just be such a great storyline in itself that I just don't want to take anybody else. So I might have to side with Alonso there. I'll go Bobby Witt Jr. for the longest home run. I'll think that he has the furthest. I say it goes 460 plus, something around that range.
I like it.
So there we go. So there's a couple little picks. And then keep me with Ozuna. I'll stay with Ozuna as my long shot winner. I'm going to just call one, you know, out of left field. And let's see what happens, man. But I'm looking forward to it. What other all-star storylines not named Paul Skeens are you excited about here come tomorrow?
You did that on purpose, didn't you?
Exactly, I did.
I'm going to be honest, Adrian. The last time I watched an all-star game, and it's not been on purpose, was back in 2019. It's been a while. I've had a very wrong timing when the games have come out. I've been out of town, work, so I'm really excited that I'll be able to sit down and actually watch the game. Of course, you know, my boy Skeens, but the AL, I mean, the AL has got a lot of talent I'm really looking forward to. I mean, there's guys all across the board. The Phillies with a couple of all-stars in this game, they've had an exceptional season, and they've been really fun players to watch. So looking forward to watching them, and a guy like Alec Bohm, too.
Yeah, I like Alec Bohm a lot. But one of the guys, I mean, probably the guy that I'm just looking at over the All-Star weekend is Shohei Ohtani. I mean, he ended the what a weekend, right? And what a season he's had too. I just kind of a little quietly, and I say a little because at times I feel like we should be talking about him just daily and all the time, but 29 homers so far. I feel like he's just all over the place, and I feel like he's the most feared player on the Dodgers, which tells you a lot. And also, you know, he's becoming the face of baseball as it stands. I just want to see all the hype around him. What does he do here in the All-Star game? I wish there would have been some little caveat or wrinkle we would have heard, like, oh, Shohei is actually going to pitch an inning. Or, oh, Shohei Ohtani is going to do the home run derby. I wish there was a little wrinkle when it came to Shohei Ohtani. I understand why it's not the case. I mean, the Dodgers would be like, okay, wait, really? You're going to be doing that? But still, for the 30-year-old right here in the middle of his prime, killing it, ascending through the sport right now, becoming the face of baseball, I want to see what he does here during the All-Star break, All-Star week. And if anything stands out with Shohei Ohtani, so I'll be watching very closely with him.
Yeah, and another guy I'll be watching is a guy who's currently on pace for another record-setting season is Aaron Judge.
Great name.
Yep. Aaron Judge, who's on pace to shatter the American League home run record of 62, which he set back in 2022. He already has a major league leading 34 home runs, the most by a Yankee before the All-Star break in 96 total games played. I mean, Aaron Judge is an absolute slugger. He's amazing to watch. I think him and Shohei Ohtani are probably two of my players that are the most fun to watch in the league as of right now.
I agree. Yeah.
And I'm just looking forward to seeing what he's going to do. You know, the Yankees, they've been on not a great tenure as of late. But still, Aaron Judge has been fun to watch. And I'm looking forward to his battle with Skeens.
Our telephone number, 915-505-6009 to get into the program. 600 ESPN, I'll pass on Twitter next. And 600 ESPN, I'll pass .com, where you can read more from all the local content we've got. We've got the UTEP hitting the digital gridiron up on the website right now. We also have the NFC South Division prediction ceiling and floor analysis for every team coming up. That's for Michael Plundo. That'll be up on the site here soon enough. And we've got some soccer content up on the website as well from over the weekend. Sebastian still has his John Cena farewell announcement that was hit on Friday, and we're still pushing that one from over the weekend as well. So a lot of great content. 600 ESPN El Paso.com for all the latest. Let's do this. Bottom of the hour. Let's head over to Michael Plundo. Let's get a bottom of the hour Sports Center update. When we come back, more with Cade and Zay talking about this EA Sports College Football 25 as we continue on 600 ESPN El Paso. We continue that Greg Sankey story about the SEC and not adding to it is a real interesting one, right? Because SEC as it stands, 16 members, people feel like they've got a juggernaut of a conference right now. And that's a reality when it comes to football. Basketball, I don't know. I mean, it's a pretty good debate between them and maybe the Big Ten and the Big 12 for who's the top college basketball conference. What do you think, Zay? I'm switching over to college basketball quickly. Best conference in college basketball?
Yeah, the Big 12. Yeah, I think spot on. I think Big 12 is easily the best. They have Kansas. Yeah. Right now you add Houston. They added Houston last year. Now you add Arizona. I mean,
that's like 1-2-3 right there.
Dude, yeah,
pretty much.
That is a phenomenal conference, and it's going to be super competitive, right? Maybe you see Central Florida pop in, right? They get Mikey Williams. They get a bunch of transfers. Sort of like Last Chance U. A lot of these guys, if they don't make it here, if they, you know, mess up off the court, that's it for them. So a lot of storylines to follow in the Big 12 and even at the small schools.
So going back to the SEC about Greg Sankey saying the fact that they have no plan to go out and get other schools there. I'm not surprised. The interesting thought is going to be where Florida State and Clemson end up, right? Because those are the two schools who seem to be flirting with every conference, whether it's the Big 10, Big 12, they just want to be out of their conference right there. And I feel like in the pecking order of the Power Four, ACE, it's a SEC, Big 12, Big 10, and then a big gap, and then the ACC. So that's just kind of how it is right now. And just the rundown as far as college sports goes. Hey, I don't know how much you guys are getting into, the Olympics. I'm getting really big on the Olympics right now. I was very disappointed in Team USA's performance today. It was an exhibition against Australia, 98-92. I'm really disappointed with the front court, with this Team USA team. I feel like the one thing that we know when it's about like the World Cup, FIBA, even here when we're talking the Olympics, the other teams in the other countries always have a solid big man. And the U.S., Team USA, just I feel like they're not getting enough from their cornerstone guy, Joel Embiid. I was so disappointed in the game today. They have a lot of work to do. 68 points in the paint they allowed today to Australia in an exhibition game. You guys tell me. We'll start with you, Alberto. Your thoughts on just Olympics in general. It's right around the corner. We got Paris on deck. Team USA, I'm fixated on basketball. A lot of people, talking to different people over the weekend, they're excited about all the different things, whether it's the sprints. Hey, there's that great documentary on Netflix right now. Track and field is really highly anticipated. Gymnastics, Simone Biles back in the mix for Team USA. That's huge news right there. Are you gearing up for the Olympics? And if so, what are you looking forward to?
I just like the sense of competition that comes from the games. I do enjoy the races, the sprints, but I grew up swimming, so I consumed a lot of swimming growing up.
Okay.
And when Michael Phelps came on, that was must-watch television. So I'm excited for the swimming to come back around. I also really like the rifle ones. Those are also usually pretty fun.
A little trap and skeet, okay.
Yeah, there's just so much, so many different sports that you can get into, and my favorite part is they're usually going on pretty much all day, so you can just sit down and consume them at all times, and your day goes by and you feel a little productive.
I like that reflection, I should say, right there. Sebastian, you excited about the Olympics. What are you most pumped for?
Definitely basketball. It seems as though every single year that there's an Olympic, it's an Olympic year, I seem to get back into basketball. But today's results is very concerning about the type of Team USA that we're going to see against Australia. You mentioned, Adrian, the problem of the big man and other foreign nations having that very big man. But here's the thing. The National Basketball Association has seen a huge change in what the contemporary big man is. Therefore, when Joel Embiid or Anthony Davis are actively playing over the perimeter, it's a problem because no one is defending the paint. As a matter of fact, Australia led huge points in the paint, to be exact, 68. It's one of the reasons why USA blew a 24-point lead, which they had midway through the third quarter, and then allowed Australia to go on a 39-21 run. The biggest problem is that the USA is no longer used to playing in the paint physical basketball. They're used to playing outside of the perimeter, and that's a concern if we look to hold it together with this super team that they formed.
Yeah, but my biggest issue right now is that Team Serbia was watching this USA-Australia game, and if I'm Serbia right now and I've got Jokic on my team, and I'm going up against Embiid, who doesn't even, is not even challenging, I actually think Davis might be their option, man, because he's more of a shot blocker. He gets dirtier in the paint offensively. So with Davis, I feel like you might have to close out games of your Team USA. I get it. You're spot on with the philosophy side of it. I mean, it's a four-guard league right now across the NBA, and that four-man sometimes is 6'10", yet he's pretty much a guard, like a Michael Porter Jr. or like a Jason Tatum. But I digress and say this, when it comes to a world competition in this sport, other big men are just going to eat you up down low, or the strategy behind it is going to eat you up just right there, because when you're playing in these international games, it is sometimes more about the X's and O's versus just who you have on the court.
Exactly. The biggest problem in the modern NBA, it's that it's changing too much to the point where the world isn't catching up yet. And because of that, the world is still playing dirty physical basketball. So Team USA kind of has to revert themselves and go back to playing how they used to play. If not, the world is going to dominate in the paint, which can mean that this Team USA super team in reality sees their Olympic gold medalist ambitions crushed, especially when you have another big man like Kevin Durant, who's 6'8", on the injury list. You already sent home Kawhi Leonard. You might have to send back Kevin Durant. And now you're going to find yourselves in a situation with just turmoil bubbling because you can't get used to going back to physical basketball.
And Zay, the worst part about this Team USA team is it's too crowded. I mean, I would hate coaching this team because it's like you're dealing with all the egos and all the personalities that you just have. How do you manage minutes? It's like, okay, I'm cool with telling, you know, I'm cool with Anthony Davis closing out games for them. But what's going to happen after the game when Joel Embiid comes to the locker room and comes into my office if I'm the coach of Team USA? How do I justify not closing out a game with a arguably top five player in Joel Embiid in the league? I just, you know, what we've seen so far, Jock Landale, 20 points against Team USA for Australia today. I mean, maybe I'm overreacting just a little bit knowing it's an exhibition game, but I'm passionate behind this because I'm so disappointed on Team USA losing out in the FIBAs last year. Like, this cannot happen again this time around, and I'm holding this team accountable and a very high standard.
Yeah, you know, Team USA, you guys are saying this. You guys have made great points. I get it. But if I'm going to be honest here.
Not worried.
Not worried one
okay.
bit.
Okay. All right. Well, check back in with you. You go ahead, Alberto.
Look, if we're gonna talk about Joel Embiid, the truth must be spoken.
Say it. He doesn't play big games.
No. He should have played with Cameroon and not Team USA. He
Ooh.
Chose an easy way out to get himself a gold medal. And quite frankly, I find it pretty bad. I don't like it. And I'm going to just... I won't even Ooh. Use any more words because then they get mad at me. But yeah, I mean, why would you choose Team USA? To me, it makes no sense. I think that you could have been a true hero. You represent Cameroon, the nation that saw you grow up, and then.
So the interesting part about Joel Embiid has a lot of interesting parts to him, right? He was actually discovered by Luc Bamute. Shout out to the French national team. Luc Bamute actually moved Joel Embiid to the U.S. When he was a teenager to devote himself to being a basketball player after he starred and played volleyball and soccer in Cameroon, just like you mentioned. But he was really in the military embassy, man. Like, you know, when you're in those kind of situations, it's like you're on an island in itself, so you don't feel like you have sort of a nationality. So I'm trying to be respectful to what he feels as far as his nationality. With the same instance, though, I will say this to your point, Alberto, he could have chosen Cameroon, France, or the U.S. He has three nationalities that he can associate himself with. And I guess that's just what we're talking about nowadays, you know? And with a team like Cameroon, it's probably like a team in Lithuania, like Luka Doncic experiences, a team that does not have the capabilities to actually compete in the Olympics. So seeing Serbia here playing at the highest levels in the Olympics is actually pretty special when we're considering a lot of things. But hey, you look top to bottom with their roster, they're starting to get a lot better, and Jokic is leading the way for them. Nikola Jokic is the face of that Serbian team, and probably, you know, and not probably, he is the face of basketball right now as it stands here in 2024. So just kind of interesting stuff, you know, when you look at it from top to bottom. But great points you bring up. Let's do this, guys. Let's wrap it up next. Final takeaways, EA Sports College Football 25. We're going to get out to all the rest of the early release coverage later in the week. We got Home Run Derby on deck here at 6 o'clock, and a whole lot more. Stay tuned with us. Sports Talk winds down here as we continue here on 600 ESPN El Paso. All right, we are winding up the show here, 600 ESPN El Paso. We're getting out to the Home Run Derby here in just a little bit, winding it up. Today was really the EA Sports College Football 25 first gameplay review day by all of us here. Everybody got a chance to hit the sticks. Alberto, you're the only one who hasn't actually held the controller among our squad here. However, you told me off air, you were like, hey, look, I'm not the video game guy, but you got a chance to dissect everything and really take it all in. You tell us, give us an accurate description on what it was like.
Well, it's like the most, it's the realest game that I've seen just from what I've watched over the shoulders here. It looks real. It looks updated. It doesn't look like a Madden reprint like we had said. And it looks like it'll be something that will keep you attached to your screen for prolonged periods of time. So I think that that's a great job. And people who like spending real money on games, be careful, because you are going to spend real money on this one. And so, yeah, it does look like a lot of fun. I wish they'd release it on console.
Yeah, I'm with computer. You. Yeah, no. I'm totally with you on that. I think a PC version would be killer. I also feel like, you know, this is going to really rise the stock of a lot of these Xbox Series S and X, and also really rise the stock of a lot of PS5. So I'm one of the ones who has not made the transition just yet. I was on the marketplace all over the weekend, Cade. I'm so disappointed in myself. I was trying to barter, trying to haggle people, trying to get the PS5 under maybe like a $300, you know, $250. Can you do $200 in cash if I pick up right now? None of those objectives worked right there. So I hope to get this game by Friday's release and play with everybody else. So that's the goal. That's what I'm planning for.
Wait, so if you were trying to bargain and barter, you didn't get one yet, though?
No, I haven't gotten one yet.
So you're planning to get one by Friday?
Oh, I thought it was the 2-minute drill over the weekend, man. I was ready for the deluxe edition and everything. I told everybody Friday that I have not planned this out as well as I needed to, but I'm going to get this done. We're going to figure this out one way or another.
So do you still plan on going through Facebook Marketplace, or are we going to, you know, kind of...
Oh, we have the offers out, man. Offer Up, Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace.
You're doing it wrong. You got to just get the guts and get the Series S. Get the Series S. It's the cheaper version. It's not the X. You know, the X has got, you know, a little bit faster processing, more storage, all that stuff.
So I found one for $200. And I haven't pulled the trigger
off
yet.
Off of Marketplace?
Yes.
Pull the trigger.
Okay, good. I'm glad that you're talking some sense into me. I have a PS5 nucleus around me that was very skeptical. They're like,
I'm an Xbox guy.
Xbox guy. You're Team Xbox. We're playing off of PS5, by the way, with Zay. I've only had PlayStation my whole life, so we'll see if I hit the transfer portal and if I'm cool with going the Xbox route. But regardless, we're going to get this done. Sebastian, you got a chance to hit the sticks. You give us a quick reaction, quick first response from it.
Well, my drive didn't go well. I threw a pick. However, we got close to the end zone. I'll say that.
That's right.
The game's really fast. The game is super fast. It's very smooth. I've noticed that the playbook, and this might be from firsthand experience, I played around it for 10 minutes, the playbook's smaller. So unlike Madden, there's less plays to work with, and it just seems like it's smaller. Obviously college, so you have that difference in play styles and depending on each coach. So the playbook is definitely smaller, but the crowd, incredible. You have cutscenes cutting to the cheerleaders and the pickup signals. That's not seen in Madden. In Madden, it just looks like they got a bunch of CGI models and threw a t-shirt on them.
Right.
This one looks like they definitely tried. So it was different, and for sure I can't wait to get my hands on it to explore it more. But for right now, it seems arcadey. I like it very much.
Zay, the last thing that I have to say, cannot wait to play the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. That's the one thing we haven't done yet, the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl.
I might have to, you know, pick up an NC State Dynasty or something and purposely go like 8-4.
8-5, yeah, exactly.
And lose the
ACC championship game as an 8-4 team who somehow is playing up against Florida State, who's 11-1. So that would make a lot of sense. Hey, we're all out of time. Home Run Derby on deck. That's coming up next. That's ESPN's coverage right here. We're back in action only 1 hour tomorrow here on 600 ESPN El Paso.